You're listening to the best of Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So, the Phils didn't make it easy last night, but they pulled it out. What a game! What a game! So, if you missed it, holy mackerel. There was a ton of big moments. There were three massive moments. I want to play all three for you in succession as they occurred. Because just know this, the Phillies, part of what made it so amazing last night, they looked dead multiple times. At one point, they were down 5-0. At one point, they were down 5-3 late. At one point, they were down 8-6 late. They pulled it out. Let's listen to the three big moments. The first, in the eighth inning, down 5-3, JT up, two outs, all sorts of guys on base. You think this right fielder, maybe caught the ball. Let's listen to last night.
The payoff pitch. Swung on, line to right field. Wood coming on. He will lay out. He had it for a moment. It popped out. The game is tied. Stott's coming around third. He'll score standing up. And the Phillies strike for three in the eighth, and they lead it 6-5.
All right, let's start with this, John. Did you think the right fielder initially, did you think he caught the ball? Right?
Yeah. I mean, he did. It rolled out of his glove.
It's unbelievable.
It was an amazing moment. Yeah.
And, you talk about sports being a game of inches. Uh-huh. I mean, that is a game of millimeters right
there. I felt
there.
Really good for JT.
Yeah.
We lament his aging process so often, and we say, yeah, he's great defensively, but offensively leaves a lot to be desired. Felt really good for him in that moment. But then, of course, Kirky gives it up, man.
Yeah.
And it feels like, I don't know, I like Kirkring, and it feels like he's having a better season.
Yes.
But, man, sometimes he just gives it up.
Yes, he does. So he did last night in the bottom of the eighth. So the Phillies then enter the top of the – and, by the way, we'll take your reaction on everything from last night's Phillies game and on the Sixers pick. We'll get to that in great order as we move through the show. Your chance to weigh in on all this at 215-592-9494. So let's fast forward a couple minutes. Obviously now in the ninth inning, Phils down 8-6. Ninth inning, two outs. James, two outs, boom, boom, right away. Like, no one's on base. So Trey gets it going with the first hit. And then with two outs, Brandon Marsh.
Lord delivers. Marsh swings. Hits a high drive. Right field. Wood is back and out of room. And it's tied. Brandon Marsh blasts one out to right. A two-run home run with two outs in the ninth. And it's 8-8.
Now, it's debatable which of all these is the biggest hit of the night. I would tell you I think it's that one because you're two outs in the ninth. You're one out away from losing the game. But they were all huge moments. And by the way, he blasted that one. All right, so that was awesome.
Oh, and the moment he hit it, he knew. The moment right. His bat made contact, yeah. He knew. And he finished triple short of the cycle.
Yeah.
Speaking of
cycle
and
so,
its worth.
So Brandon Marsh obviously really delivered there and has delivered all year. And then just a couple minutes later, you get a couple guys on base. It's still the ninth inning. It's still tied. There's obviously still two outs. And Bryson Stott with a shot.
The pitch swung on, hit in the air, deep right field, down the line. It is fair and gone. It's a home run.
Oh, yeah.
Bryson Stott into the second deck with a three-run home run. Absolutely destroyed it. Did Bryson Stott. The second homer of the ninth inning, and the Phillies lead it 11-8.
So it's just one of those games that is, you know, a maybe best game of the year scenario. Now, look.
I think it's the best game I've ever watched, man. Seriously.
It's not get carried away.
What?
It was a good
game. That's two innings.
It was a good game.
Four homers in a game last year. In the 70s, right?
It was 14-9.
Yes, I did, probably. I was a kid. Yep.
John, you should have seen 23-22 back in the day. Look, here's the deal.
One of those extra inning games in the 1980 playoffs or whatever, you know?
Exactly. Look, it was an amazing game. You wish you had better pitching. You wish you had better fielding by Trey Turner. Okay, can we put that out there?
Yeah, they kind of killed Lizardo.
Holy mackerel. And all those runs are technically earned because it's a hit for the whole thing. But look, it is a great win. And let me boil this down and make it where I'm coming from this morning. And I want to hear from you at 215-592-9494. Because we can talk about the game. I want to talk about the team. Here's the bottom line, in my opinion. And I know a lot of you are going to disagree with me, and that's fine. Here's the bottom line. The Phillies have more heart. And they have more talent than many people think. I am so sick and tired of people acting like they're a bunch of losers because they haven't won the World Series, a bunch of bums. Look, guys, I wish they had won it also. They're in the fight. if you haven't noticed, they're in the fight. This is now the fifth year in a row. They're very likely to make the playoffs. They have come back from a huge deficit at the start of the season, which was of their doing. Okay, I'm not letting them off the hook. 9-19 was their disgrace. Was their disgrace. But they have fought back really well from 9-19. At 43-36, getting near the midpoint of the season, they obviously look like they are likely on track to make the playoffs again. I hope they win the World Series. I know they're in the fight for it. I know they're giving us a fun summer. I know they're going to give us a fun summer. And I also know this. If you're so ticked that they haven't won the World Series yet, that you're not enjoying this, that's on you. Sorry to say it to you, but that's on
How
you.
How could someone not enjoy that
because
last
John,
night? That's last night was chaos in the greatest way. It was baseball awesomeness.
It was amazing.
And that is a catapult game, not just for us in our belief, but the players. The players, when you band together and do something like that, you draw from that. You draw from that. You don't even have to say, hey, think back to the 14-9 game. It's just something that's automatic. You know it's never over. You got two outs and Trey at the plate, who is struggling, man.
The last guy you went up to.
I know. And no Schwarber last night. No Schwarber.
Right.
Think about that. In my mind, he is the leader of that clubhouse, and he is not in the game. He is not part of this. That team banded together.
Yeah,
that was a different level. That's the type of game that catapults you to another tier of belief as a team.
I agree, and hopefully as a fan base, although I do know, and look, we'll take your reaction, 215-592-9494. I know a lot of people won't feel emotionally satisfied until they win the World Series. And I get it. I do get it. But I also know this. They take Dr. J. I mean, he was here for 11 years. It took him deep into his tenure to win a title. It took him deep into his tenure. So they're in the fight. I appreciate that. Look, here's the deal. When I say they have more heart and more talent than many people think, here's why I believe that. You don't win 87, 90, 95, and 96 games in four consecutive seasons and likely on the way to around 90. You don't do that unless you have a lot of good stuff. Now, do I wish they had more? Yes. Yes! I mean, guys, no misconstruing here. Do I wish their outfield was better? Yes. Do I wish their fourth and fifth starters were better? Yes. Do I wish I had more faith in the bullpen leading up to Duran? Of course. Of course. And with all of that.
But that's still addressable.
But here's the thing. Take last night. Well, it is addressable. They're not going to fix it all, but they might fix some of it. But, like, take last night. Take some of the big moments. So Marsh is someone who I didn't want on the team this year. He came through, he's come through all year. Stott obviously came through. He's been a focal point of scorn and frustration. Bone's been a focal point of scorn and frustration and has generally played much better the last month than the first month and a half. I'm just telling you, when I surmise the Phillies and the reaction of the Phillies, I think a lot of people miss that there actually is a lot of talent and a lot of heart, and a lot of people don't realize that. Look, we'll take your calls at 215-592-9494. Your reaction, James, talk to us.
Look, last night was awesome. That was definitely, you know, potential game of the season type thing. And we have a few of those each year.
Yep.
You know, I feel like there's like five games a year where, you know, we had the Schwarber 4 homer game last year. You have these moments where you're like, thank God I watch all of these. That's why I do it, right?
Yep, yep.
And I'm with you. I think it's going to be a fun summer. I think it's a good team. But I do think you're a little harsh on people who feel the last 4 years on top of this, you know, because it is all about winning a title at the end of the day. It's not.
So I disagree.
I know. I'm phrasing that poorly. I'm phrasing that poorly. It's not. It's about the season and all that. But at the end of the day, the point of the sport is to win the championship.
That
That's what I'm trying to say.
That is right.
And when you're 5 years into a run, I understand when fans say, I've seen this. I saw Kyle Schwarber at 4 home runs in a game last year. I saw Michael Lorenz no-hitter. I've seen these moments. I've seen these things that didn't lead to a run of any kind. So, like, I get it, and I thought last night was awesome, and this team has a chance, but I also look at the standings, and the Dodgers at 51 wins are the best team in baseball again. They're just cruising.
Yeah.
So it's
the
like,
Braves lost last night.
Yeah, I like the Braves. The Phillies might catch Braves. I don't know.
Bills
at the end of the day, the Dodgers are the Titan.
And everybody knows that.
And they're chasing the Titan. We all are. So that's where my eyes go.
Yeah.
So, like, last night was awesome. I think this team has a chance, but I don't scold people for. I don't.
I
Thank
know.
You, James.
I think it's very fair and righteous to feel this way with how this team has comported themselves the last 5 years and how they've added to the team. And again, think about my F of the offseason. Yeah. Imagine if it had been a C. Imagine if I fell with a C. I know you did.
Yep.
Imagine what this team could be, where they could be right now if they had had a better offseason, if they had tried harder, if they had made some more moves. So, like, I get it, but I'm still frustrated because. To the point John made, yes, it's fixable. They're not getting the three things they need.
No, not
they're not
get
getting
all.
A starter, a reliever, and a hitter.
Right.
Especially not like ones you think are really going to contribute. So, like, they're going to go into the playoff with holes, and that's still concerning.
I agree.
Last night was awesome. So, it's like one of those, it's hard to, that's like the whole season.
I think
it's like this night is awesome, but we have this thing hanging over us.
Like, I think it's very well said by James. I also think it's very well said by me. We'll take
Hold on. Remove your arm from your back, patting yourself on the back. No, you might hurt yourself.
Look, it's a conundrum for Philly. It's not a conundrum. It's an emotional tug of war for Philly sports fans. Because on one hand, we are all frustrated they haven't won the title. On the other hand, most of us...
just take that for what it was, man. That was totally amazing
well, it was fun.
Last night.
It was fun.
And it very well may carry us. And if it doesn't, that sucks.
Right.
But that may carry us to greatness. Well, that's the type of game that's a spark that you really can grow from and become a better team.
I just don't think baseball works that way. Right, We've seen them have so many wins like that.
I think at times it does. Look, we'll take your phone calls and your reaction at 215-592-9494. I know some people might think I'm being Pollyanna. I'm just telling you how I feel after having seen most of my life when the Phillies were not a competitive team. And this is only the second time in my life that there's an era of great competitiveness. I enjoy that. But I understand, as James and Rhea expressed many times, the frustration to the point where many people say, I just don't want to believe. I'm not going to believe. I get it, but I disagree with it.
I think anyone who watched that game last night loves baseball more today, except Nationals fans.
Nationals fans. Look, 215-592-9494. Your thoughts on all of it, plus the Sixers draft pick. Who they got, why they got them, the whole deal, how they got them. We'll tell you that next as well. Your phone calls and all of it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
The Phillies play.
That's a hot board. Kyle behind the glass. We got a lot to get into today, including the Sixers making a first-round pick last night. We'll talk about that. A little on the Eagles. Elliot will join us. Maybe lollipops will come up later in the show. We'll finish the Phillies. A lot to discuss, including and starting with an incredible Phillies victory last night down in Washington. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, that's perfect example of never give up, never surrender. What was that? Galaxy Quest or whatever that movie was. Never give up, never surrender.
Were you thinking about that last night during the game?
I was like, wow. Because at first, you know how you're kind of in and out and you're thinking they're going to lose. And then it got started with Trey Turner, right?
In the ninth. Yeah,
yeah
with two
it got
outs,
started
yeah.
with
yep.
Trey. So then after that, it's just like, wow. It was good to see.
It was an incredible victory last night. And I will say this. I think that's the most exciting Phillies regular season victory in years. I mean, the Phillies haven't had, and it's kind of crazy to think about this, they haven't had a walk-off home run in multiple seasons now. So, usually here once or twice a year, right, there's one of those games where it's like, it's that dramatic game we talk about all year, it's that moment. Last night was that. Last night was that game. What an incredible comeback. What an incredible run of offense in the eighth and the ninth inning. Capped off by the Marsh home run, and then they just kept pouring it on, run after run, hit after hit, in extra innings. At some point, they lose the DH. I mean, Sosa's in there because Schwarber is, you know, out of the game before it starts with the back issue. Edmundo Sosa was a huge part of why they won last night, and that game had everything. I mean, Hugh, when Kirkering, well, first of all, they have the eighth inning, where I couldn't believe the way they scored with the JT double down the line. I mean, James Wood makes an incredible dive to catch that ball. It pops out of his glove. Then he kicks it around. Everyone scores like, oh, my God, this could be the win of the year. And then you go to the bottom of that inning, and Kirkering, you know, gives it right back up. You're like, oh, this is going to be a tough loss. I mean, they fought back to only lose. And then, Hugh, you said it. Trey gets it started with two outs in the ninth. That pitcher, Lord, for the Nationals last night, he made the first two outs look so easy. It was like, oh, boy, we're done.
Yeah.
And then, boom, Turner hit. And then the Marsh home run. And they just kept pouring it on, including the Stott home run. Hugh, that was the kind of game you think, like, when this season ends, wherever it ends, I feel like we're going to go back to that game.
Think about that one.
Yeah, because they showed, that was the most, I mean, they showed a lot of fight for, you know, 50-something days now since they changed the manager.
But that one right there.
That was something different.
I'll tell you what, and it's... You know, you said something about a year or two ago about when the game used to find Rojas.
Mm-hmm.
The game tends to find him. And you got to admit that in that moment when you had Trey Turner up there, you thought that it was going to find him in a bad way.
Yeah, strikeout or a pop-up. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And then he got a big hit.
And then he got a big hit, man. And it's, you know, you talk about a confidence builder. You know, a moment like that, and then to come back the way that they did, and then have all the other guys and Marsh do what he did, that's huge for your ego, man. That is huge for your ego.
Well, it is. Let's hear Brandon Marsh, who has been a big part of all this. I mean, he's a deserving all-star, and that home run to tie the game, that was a shot he hit to right center field. Let's hear Marsh last night after the game.
Can you remember being a part of a ninth inning like that?
No, that was pretty epic. From everybody, you know. It was a... needed everyone today, and everyone pulled through, so that was big. I think it just showed kind of who we are, and showed feel like the squad that we have in this locker room, it feels like we're never out of the fight, and you know, we got the staff to keep us in every ball game, and the lineup to give us a good chance to win. So it's a pretty good recipe we got going right now. We just got to keep it going.
Well, it is a good recipe they have, and they got to keep it going. And, Hugh, if they keep it going, this could be a very interesting race the rest of the way. And I got to tell you, 215-592-9494 to join us. Hugh, waking up today, for the first time, I would say, probably since the first week or two of the season, I'm allowing myself to do something I haven't done in months. I'm allowing myself to think about the NL East. I thought about it waking up this morning. The Phillies win again last night. The Braves lose again last night. The deficit in the NL East, which at one point touched 11 games, we are now down to 5.5 games. I mean, the Phillies have cut the Braves' lead in half over the past month and a half. There is still a lot of baseball left to play. We haven't yet reached, I believe we're about to reach the 81-game mark, like the middle of the season mark. We're about to get there. We just are touching on that. There's a half a season left. And if you look at it in the last 56 days since the 9-19 start, change of the manager, we could give credit to that. Obviously, Wheeler coming back, all these things. The Phillies have played at a 108-win pace under Don Mattingly. There is a lot of baseball left. I'm not saying they're going to stay at 108-win pace. That's remarkable. But, you know, the Braves were playing at that pace. And now
they're starting to fall to the wayside.
They've come back to earth. Strider's hurt.
Beautiful thing about baseball.
Acuna's hurt. Look, the Braves are good, and the Braves are not going to just disappear, right? They're going to be in this the whole way. But I'm allowing myself for the first time in months to think about the idea of the Phillies once again winning the NL East. They're back in this. 5.5 with a half a season to go. And by the way, 7 still to play against the Braves.
7.
Now, we won't see them for months, but they have 7 head-to-head games. Hugh, are you allowing yourself, are you allowing your mind to wander and think about a third straight division crown?
You know what the beautiful thing about baseball is? Is we kicked this around maybe early last week, and we talked about it.
Because at that point, then? 7 or 8?
It was 7-8. And I remember telling you, because you asked me, you say, would you try to shoot for the title? And I was like, nah, because you're not in control of what's going on. And now look at us. We're right here 5 games behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? You know, but never mind. I'm going to keep that one to myself.
What do you mean?
I don't
want to
be. I don't want to be that guy on a winning.
Well, just say it.
I don't want to be that guy.
What do you got,
Rod?
Just because he's not here today doesn't
Rod.
Mean you get. All right, what do you got? Just whisper it.
This is the ebb and flow of baseball because we just complained the other day that Well, we did. It was us. We complained about them not hitting and how they went from one extreme to the next. The first game, you only got one run.
Yeah.
But, again, not going to harp on that because, wow, again.
Stick in the mud, Douglas. Douglas.
It was the first thought that I had because this is the ebb and flow of baseball. And this is why I feel like it's so important not to get too ahead of yourself or get too down on the squad because it's really a day-to-day thing in baseball. It really, really is.
Yeah, and with this, it's like two things at once, right? It's us day-to-day and now the Braves day-to-day who have gone into they're cold.
Yeah.
This is the first time all year the Braves are cold. They lose again last night late in San Diego. It's a 5.5 game deficit. Here's what I say. Look, the Braves, whether it be 5.5, 6.5, 7.5, they're in the advantage right now. We're about halfway done the season. They're ahead by a good margin, and that's their advantage. But what I see right now when I watch the Phillies is 3 high-end pitchers. I know Lizardo gave up some runs last night. Guys, he struck out 13 batters. Jesus Lizardo might have the best stuff of any number 3 starter in baseball right now. I don't care about his ERA. He's awesome. And last night, by the way, those runs that should not have been charged to him, not all of them. I mean, that one where Trey Turner, they gave a hit, was a joke. And the fact that that's on Luzardo's ERA is annoying. But regardless, Luzardo pitched mostly well last night, and I still believe in him. Sanchez, amazing. Wheeler, amazing. Duran, amazing. And they have three hitters in their lineup that deserve to be in the All-Star game. They have a lot. And look, the Braves are good. The Braves have some issues in their starting rotation, and the Braves have Ronald Acuña out. I'm allowing myself to dream here. 215-592.
Ain't no wrong with dreaming, man. 94. Dream every day.
You got to dream.
At 54.
Yeah, you got it. Almost 55.
Proud of you, man. Proud of you.
Ooh, yeah.
You didn't think about that yet.
Oh, yeah, no, I've been thinking about it because, you know, that's when I can, you know, take that retirement if I want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, you get that.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about that. What do I, like, when you're on the cusp of, like, if you want to retire, and you get to thinking about what do you want to do?
Yeah. Well, you told us. Cape yeah. Verde and a wife with a different, speaking a different language than you.
Language, yeah.
You told us. On a bar, right?
Yeah.
We'll come
yeah.
visit?
Yeah. Y'all can come visit. Come visit.
Awesome.
You ain't going to come visit. You're drinking for free.
That's
what
a
you
little
doing?
Far. It's far.
Right. You know what would make Hugh more happy than anything? He retires. He opens a bar in Cape Verde or whatever, and he has a wife that doesn't speak the same language as him. And we show up, right? And he's yep. like, oh, it's Joe and Kyle. But we have a boatload of our listeners there with us.
Yeah.
And we're all coming drinking for
that's
free
fine.
On Hugh Douglas.
You can drink
San Diego.
For free.
Aaron,
yes. Yeah, Aaron can come because I'm pretty sure.
I'm not going then.
Aaron's that's going. You sound like me.
That's a lot.
All right, 215-592. No? Okay, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Before we go to the phone lines, can we hear from that clown, Clayton Beter, from the Nationals, who 2 days ago was like, yeah, I can't love beating the Phillies. Well, he gave up some of those runs last night. What did he say 2 nights ago? What was that again?
Just overall, a performance like this in a big division series to get a four-gamer started. How's it feel?
Yeah, it fires us up. I mean, I don't think there's any team we want to beat more than the Phillies. So, great way to start the series, and looking forward to the next week.
Is that just because you're playing them now or within the division, kind of looking at them in the standings? Why is that?
Yeah, standings a little bit. I think we always just got a little extra juice against them. You know, they're close. They always draw fans here. We just want to beat them.
Clayton with the blown save last night.
These
yeah,
clowns.
That, when that ball went over his head, he was just looking like, yeah, that, you know how you look on the mound, he's like, yeah, that one looked like it's going out.
Not great for him.
Wednesday at 3 o'clock, so Larry Anderson here with us to talk about it. What's up, L.A.?
How you doing? How's everything?
What's up, L.A.?
It's funny. Depending on when we have you on, like last week, we're like, why can't they hit? And then we come on the day after they score 14 runs. What I'm trying to decide here, L.A., is, like, I watch some other baseball games, but essentially what I'm just doing is watching the Phillies every single game. Is it the Phillies that are, you know, the offense will look completely anemic, and then I'll believe for two games, and then it'll look anemic again? Or is that just, if I watched any baseball team, even a really, really good baseball team, every single game, would it drive me crazy like that? Or is it specific to the Phillies?
No, I don't think it's specific. I think this is pretty much standard around baseball now. It's just the inconsistency. I think part of it, you know, bringing guys up. I mean, you got guys in the big leagues that have pitched 28 innings and have walked 20 batters, and they're in the big leagues. Like, before that would get you released. Now with this go around, you get to the big leagues. So. I think it's just, it's pretty much all the way around the game. You don't expect a whole lot of consistency.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit, and I think part of it with the hitting is the concentration on trying to hit home runs and lift the ball. It reminds me a little bit in the NBA with all the three-point stuff. Like, yeah. You'll have a game where there's the team super hot from three, and then the next game they shoot 10 of 42, and they look like two completely different teams. They did the same thing. It was just, they're doing things. When you're trying to hit home runs all the time, you're not going to hit home runs all the time. So either either it'll work or it won't work, it seems like.
It's basically a walk, strikeout, or home run all yes. around baseball. I mean, that's the game plan for just about every team. Walk, strikeout, or home run. It just I don't know for the most part, and this is not exclusive to Phillies. I look around and I watch batters come to the plate and I'm like, were you looking for that pitch up and in off the plate? First pitch. Is that what you were looking for? And that's why you swung at it. I mean, I watch it all around and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It's baffling. And, you know, and then on the other side on pitchers, it's like, how hard can I throw? It doesn't matter where I'm throwing. It's just how hard can I throw?
Yeah.
And I see a lot of guys just coming up and just trying to throw the hell out of the ball, and with secondary thought of location. But the first thought is, how hard can I throw it, or how much can I spin it? It's I don't know. I mean, that's where the game is. That's what the game is right now, and that's I think the reflection of that is what you're seeing today in all around baseball is just inconsistency. One day they'll hit like the 27 Yankees, and the next day they'll hit like the 1972 Reno Silver Sox.
Had a good team?
Did you play on that team?
No, it was not good.
So let me ask you about Lizardo. Last night it was really an encapsulation of the Lizardo experience, which is, for a lot of the innings, dominant, struck out 13 guys. There's that one inning. Now, the defense did him no favors, but like, what happens, and what is the difference? We were talking before the show. Like, Sanchez and Wheeler, they get a little bit of traffic, they bear down, and they limit the damage. Lizardo, it seems like he has a tendency to let it, snowball. What is happening with Lizardo in those innings that seem to be problematic for him?
I think part of it is that I've said this a few times that and not to disrespect, but part of it is, I think, the hitter gets a timeout. Every at bat, they get a timeout. A pitcher gets no timeouts, and you're working the pitch clock. There's a lot more for the pitcher to do than the hitter to do. Hitter, step up, take a foot out of the box and put his foot back in. For a pitcher, it's like you get your sign, you get on the mound, you come set. It's like, whoa, time to go. Like, why is it that, I think baseball should look into this or think about it. Like, give a pitcher one timeout an inning. Or give your pitchers five timeouts a game or something where when things start snowballing on you, some pitchers, and I needed to walk around the mound for a second, collect my thoughts, get my stuff back together, if you will. And pitchers, there's no time to do that with the pitch clock now. You start getting hit and it's like, okay, I got to get on the mound or I'm going to get called. It's going to be an automatic ball and you don't want to get behind right out of the chute without even throwing a pitch. It's like, Why can't the pitcher get a break? Why can't he get a timeout? The hitter gets it, and he doesn't. To me, the hitter doesn't need a timeout. Why does a pitcher not get a timeout when they're the ones that may need it? More so, anyway.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of the hitters use those timeouts pretty strategically, too, to sort of, they'll call it late, or if they're...
Right.
I had not thought of that the way the pitch clock... Obviously, the pitch clock will rush a pitcher, but in a situation like that a breather... maybe that's why I feel like we see Caleb Cotham, we see, mound visits from the pitching coach more than we used to, and maybe that's what they're trying to use that for, to give the guy a breather.
I think they use it probably at least 50% of the time just for that.
Yeah.
Coming out there and it's like things start unrolling or snowballing or whatever. And you need a break and you can't, it's like, can I get a timeout without getting punished? Can I have a few seconds? Can I have 30 seconds instead of 21 seconds or whatever it is, 18, 19, so I don't even know what it is anymore. But can I get 30 seconds? Can I get 10 extra seconds just to, take a deep breath, get my thoughts together, get things back rolling where I want them to be. And I don't think that's asking too much. And I don't think it's outlandish to think about that as a rules committee to say, hey, let's give the pitchers a break,
So your boy Fritz over here, has been begging for the Phillies to put Kirkering in more high leverage situations.
This is a little too thick.
Well, you've been begging for it. You've been begging for it. Now, I love Kirkering.
You're trying to get one thing right over me, and you're going to hang this over my head for the rest of the summer. Yes, you are.
Well, I get a lot of things right over you, but I just want to be clear.
We have company, guys.
LA. Fritz begging for Kirkering to be in a high leverage situation. He's in one last night. That was... like, that inning was murder. what did you see from Kirkering there? Because he had been on a real good roll for the last couple of months.
Sometimes it just comes down to, is there somebody behind me? To help to relax you a little bit. Like, it goes back to the situation, the setup guy or a closer. You know, that there's more pressure on a closer because there's nobody behind him. On a setup guy, generally, you should be able to be more relaxed because you've got that closer behind you. But if nobody's warming up and you notice that, and you're like, oh, it's on me.
Right.
I think you can put more pressure on yourself. But I do agree with Jack in that I wanted to see Kirkering in a later situations, and because I think he's been in some tight situations and he's done well.
Yes.
But to go in this situation, it's a one-run game, the eighth inning, and this is a good hitting team, period. I mean, they put the bat on the ball and they obviously look at the league numbers or the total numbers. They score some runs.
Yep.
And I think sometimes you just, I don't know what happened right out of the shoot. Like the walk, it's like, man, he just didn't make pitches. I think it's hard to gauge on one game because he's been really good, but sometimes those tighter situations, they give you a chance to put more pressure on yourself, and that's the only thing I can think. Maybe he did that a little bit last night when we haven't seen that before, and he's been in some tough situation before. Maybe not like this one, but all the emotions and the way the game went, and to come in and go, okay, I can't screw up. I can't make a mistake here. And you start thinking that, and that's where the thought precedes the action comes into play. Oh, I can't hang this breaking ball. Boom, see ya. Oh, no. 8-6. You know, and it's one of those things. I think it just, you got to be able to slow the game down, especially late in the game in those situations.
What do you think about that? I mean, listen, they go down 8-6. I'm cursing at home. I'm cursing at home. Yeah. I can't believe after they just gave us that exciting go-ahead inning by going up 6-5. That happens. But then they come back in the top of the ninth and do what they did. That's got to be pretty encouraging. It's just something about this team, right? It's something there that they believe as long as they still have outs available to them, they can get a win. Is that starting to build with these guys?
I think it is. I really do. I think it started a while back, not long ago, but I think they really start going, you know what, we can do this. We can, you know, it might have sounded outlandish a month ago, but mm-hmm. I think I got to believe right now they're thinking, hey, we can win this division. As well as the Braves have been going, but they've had some injuries and things haven't gone quite as well for them of late. And I think the Phils just, you're just looking for that consistency like the Braves had for the first 2 months. You know, the Phils maybe can get some of that going. And, you know, by the end of the season, maybe, you know, have a shot at overtaking the Braves. And I think they're believing that. I do. I think they need it from everybody. And I think there's still some holes. There's still some question marks. But I think with those guys, with that group of guys in there, I think they believe that they can take care of any situation until the game's over.
I tell you, man, that's the thing, LA, and I'm not breaking news to you as you're a former athlete yourself, but you give us something to sort of hang our hat on or believe in.
Yeah.
Like, we'll it's like almost having a new goal in front of you, and now you're trying to achieve that. So, yeah, you're right. They see this division is in their sights. And I believe they believe they can run the Braves down and win this thing.
Yeah, and I think when they look at the rotation too, I think they got to have it in the back of their head, especially from the time they got Wheeler back, things started to change, I think. And then realizing like, okay, we got two aces, we got a Lizardo who can shove it up anybody's rear end at any time.
Whoa.
So you put those three guys at the top of the rotation. It's you know, they got to be feeling good about everything. That, you know, if they can get to the playoffs, they keep saying, if we can get to the playoffs, we got these three guys. I mean, not that the other guys can't help or can't do the job, but to look at the what they have there at the top, mm-hmm. they got to feel pretty good about it.
All right, the last one, LA. So we in the loss, Brandon Marsh hits a home run. On TV, they show Harper having like a heart-to-heart with Marsh before the at-bat. And Marsh said he gave him, you know, like a pump-up speech or, you know, be yourself, that sort of thing. I have remarked that me, personally, I don't see a lot of that out of Harper. Do you, like, the two-prong question. One, how meaningful is it for somebody like Harper to take that sort of role? And then two, do you think he does enough of that?
I think it's a huge benefit to the other guys on the team. I mean, Bryce Harper is the face of this franchise. To me, that's I think it's just my opinion, obviously. And some people might say, well, I think it's Schwarber. I think Harper is the face of this franchise. And I think he has been since he signed here. And prior to that, he was the face of the Washington franchise. It just, he's got that I don't know, tag to him that wherever he goes, he's going to be that guy.
He's and got it factor to him for sure. Yes, 100%.
Yes. Yep. I would love to see him do more of that. I would love to see him. And not just that, but I mean, you have to be accountable yourself too. To go and do that, but to pump guys up, to go to guys, I think it's huge. To take kind of the leadership role of that club, but you have to, I mean, you have to be looking at everybody, you know, all the time. And I mean, Harper's, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but he's so into what he's doing. I don't mean it. He's being selfish. I think that's how he is. He's so controlled or obsessed with how he wants to be and how he feels he needs to be, that it's hard for him to look around at others and see what they're doing. I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm not saying he's selfish. I think he's brought up to be a certain way, and he is in a sense almost robotic in that he's got to have things going his way for him.
Yep.
And so his eyes are on him a lot. And again, I have to preface it. I do not mean this in a derogatory way, but that's just, I think the way he's built, the way he came up. So I think it's harder for him to do that, but when he does, it speaks volumes. And for Marsh to come out and say something about it, I think that, to me, that's like a sign to Harper saying, Bryce, come on, man, you got to take charge of this team. You're our franchise, you're our face. Take charge and become the leader of this team in that way. It's not everybody can do it. But if you can and you're a guy like that, just much like Dalton was in 93, Bryce has that ability if he can do it. It's I don't think it's easy for anybody to do. But if he can, I think it would work wonders for the whole ball club.
Yeah, leading by example is good, but sometimes leading by leading is also good too, you know? And
absolutely.
All right, L.A., well...
You weren't lying about the 72 Reno Silver Sox, by the way.
Uh-oh, they couldn't hit?
50 and 88.
Oh, they sucked.
Come on, man. Now, L.A. did have three hits that year. He's three for 47.
Yeah, but check the next year, 73, what I did there. I hit 235, boss. Every single was a ground ball to right.
There you go. You sound like Crawford. Yeah. All right. All right, L.A.
I didn't have quite the speed, though.
Yes, for sure. All right, L.A. We appreciate you, man. Guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brother.
You got it. How you going?
This time, Bryce Harper puts the Phillies on top. 7-5 in the top of the ninth.
They did it again. What a week for the Phillies. And joining us right now to talk about it as they get ready for another road series, this time up in New York against the Mets, is Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing all right. Kind of a crazy week.
So how does it feel to be a part of history, Scott, with that legendary, number one, with the legendary call, and you know what, you know, the sidebars, what the Phillies were able to do.
It is fun to be, again, we're just here as broadcasters. We just get to see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been really lucky throughout my whole career to be around this team and to see so many cool, great moments. And this week was pretty remarkable. I mean, I know the Nationals bullpen struggles. I get it. But baseball's hard, and to do what the Phillies did 3 days in a row, I don't care who the bullpen is, that's crazy stuff right there, what they were just able to do, even to a bad bullpen. I'm sorry. That's on another kind of another level. Obviously, it's never happened before in baseball history to hit three go-ahead homers in the ninth inning 3 days in a row. It's just unheard of.
Well, Scott, it is. And, you know, every year, every team to me develops a personality. And even though they might have a lot of the same players, each year is its own thing. And, Scott, we had this week the three in a row. I think back to that Friday night game in Pittsburgh where Nola got hit early and I kind of just said, all right, they're going to lose tonight. And then they came back and won that game in extras. It feels to me like this team is developing a little bit of a personality here in which they're not out of games. Even though the offense hasn't been great in general, they're not out of games. And that's pretty encouraging, Scott, because you need to have a few of those up your sleeve if you're going to have a special season.
Yeah, you do, because your pitchers can't. I mean, they can't just go seven innings and allow two runs every single night. It's not realistic. You're going to, and obviously the offense in the month of June has been terrific. You know, they've clearly gotten things together. And, you know, you talk about the personality of never being out of it. I think the other part of the personality that may be starting to develop is that they don't need to sit around and wait for Schwarber and Harper to do something magical, right? There's other guys that are doing things. And we saw it this week, you know, four game-tying, four go-ahead homers in the ninth inning, and they were hit by four different players, right? You know, Harper had the one last night, go-ahead homer from Hill, tying homer from Marsh, go-ahead homer from Stott. And that's when you start to develop the personality of a team that anybody can be the hero on any given night. Anybody can contribute on a certain night. And you don't have to wait necessarily for the two big guns to sit around. You know, we're just going to sit around and watch them do something great. No, we're going to do our own great things.
Scott, let's talk about a couple of those guys that contributed this week and have been contributing. Derek Hill, I mean, it's turned into, and it's a small sample, but a very productive trade so far. He's hit as a Philly, and Scott, there's not many guys like this around anymore. He seems to be very comfortable as a pinch hitter, which that could be a huge thing, especially as the season goes on. You know, let's say the Phillies acquire more of an everyday right fielder, and Derek Hill becomes more of a platoon guy or a fourth outfielder. There could be a lot of moments, Scott, in big games where maybe Justin Crawford starts, but a lefty is in late. Derek Hill could be a weapon off the bench for them.
You know, one of the great things, and you pointed out, his pinch hitting numbers are really, really good. And a lot of that was built up with the White Sox. But it's a skill. It's a tough skill. And I know Derek has been really complimentary of the guys in the cage, you know, the hitting group, to get him ready for those at-bats. But the thing about Derek Hill is he's not just a valuable pinch hitter. He's a premier defender, right? So you can get a defensive upgrade out of him. You can get a base running upgrade out of him. You can get the pinch hit angle. Or if he's going to keep hitting like this, he's going to take down some starts as well. So I just think he's checking a lot of boxes right now, and you're right, it's a small sample. But that's, you know, if you're the third, fourth, or fifth outfielder in the club, that's kind of the way it works. You're going to have some hot streaks. You're going to have some cold streaks. That's why you're an extra outfielder and not an everyday outfielder. But I think it's great that he's not just a great pinch hitter. He does all the other things well. So that makes it really valuable for a manager to be able to do a lot of different things late in the game.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. Scott, what are you noticing with Bryson Stott? I mean, we've seen some of this in the past. You know, last August and September, he played really well, got off to a really tough start. I think he entered May with a low fives in the OPSs. But it feels like now it's a good 6-7 weeks where he's really hit the way I think we hoped he would hit. What are you noticing with Stott, who hit that big home run the other night?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the first month or so, he was hitting a lot of balls the same. He was pulling the ball a lot. He was, you know, hitting it hard. His hard hit rate was really, really high. His pull rate was higher than it had ever been, but he wasn't getting hits. You could say maybe he was hitting into some bad luck. And I think he has maintained that, look, what I did at the end of last season worked. I'm going to stay with it. He started with it. He just wasn't getting hits to fall. And rather than tinker with it and go back to doing something else, he stayed with it. And now some stuff is starting to break his way. So, I mean, clearly what the turnaround for both he and Bohm, because they're in the middle of the lineup every day, the turnaround for those two are a big reason why the offensive numbers have jumped here in the month of June.
Scott, we keep talking about the trade deadline coming up in August, or it's about 38 days away, a little over 5 weeks. And it feels like every time we have the conversation, we kind of shift the priorities. You know, it feels like the Phillies could use help, certainly in the outfield. Another back end of the rotation depth piece, considering Andrew Painter's now in the minor leagues. And a relief pitcher. Scott, that's the area that I've started to kind of move up my daily power rankings is the relief pitcher. What are you thinking where this bullpen is right now? Because Duran is so great. It just feels like in front of Duran, there just are a lot of questions, and I'm not sure who I trust the most right now, especially with the injury to Keller and trying to piece together that eighth inning in front of Duran.
Yeah, the number one thing is you can never have enough, right? Or you can never have too much. So go out and acquire some pitching. And honestly, you know, a solid sixth, seventh, eighth inning type guy, sixth, seventh inning guy, could go a long way to helping your pen, because it means you don't have to overuse Kirkering and Alvarado and you know, Meza and, you know, guys in the, you know, not the premier back end guys, but the other guys, the setup guys. And there's probably going to be a few more of those available than you would find in, say, a big-time right-handed hitting outfielder, right? That's a limited universe right now in Major League Baseball, especially when you consider there's so many teams that are still in the wild card race, or at least like to believe they're still in the wild card race, and they might go for it. So I do think pitching is an area, whether it's, you know, back end of the rotation or bullpen arms, it's a major focus for this front office right now. And I mean, it is every year, but, you know, again, I think that's the easiest path to try to upgrade your club. And I'm curious to see if they, you know, have anybody in the minor leagues that, you know, could do anything, you know, those under the radar guys that might be at Double A. If you start to see them moving up to Triple A and get the big league baseball in their hand, that might be an indication that the organization thinks they might be able to help too.
You know, Scott, I'm kind of curious to see how you feel about this, because I got on some pretty good intel that Alec Bohm has made it past phase one of All-Star voting. And I just wanted to know, how did you feel or what did you see from his turnaround season that he's having right now?
Well, I mean, again, Alec, he's a different kind of player. I mean, I can get it why people get frustrated sometimes. But he really, after the first month, you know, you look at his numbers in aggregate, he's starting to trend towards his career numbers. I mean, obviously, I think they'd like to see he and JT and Trey do a little more damage against left-handed pitching. I think that still remains something that they would like to see more of. Alec has been the best of those three in that regard. I'm not sure why lefties give JT so much trouble in particular, because his numbers against righties are way better than they are against lefties, which is a bit of a head scratcher. Same thing with Trey, especially when you compare it against his career numbers. He's never had a problem hitting against lefties. So, you know, I think all three of those guys need to continue to improve against lefties. That would help the offense a lot. But, you know, Alec is just kind of a steady guy. I don't, you know, again, I don't know that he's doing anything terribly differently. He always tries to stay in the middle of the field. That never changes. He doesn't, I mean, he likes to swing early in counts. He likes to swing at the first pitch. And I know that can be frustrating for some people to watch at times. But his career numbers, you know, when getting that first pitch in play, are pretty good. So you can understand why he's, you know, why he sticks with that formula for himself.
You know what, Scott, I was just thinking, because I made a bold prediction at the beginning of the season that he would hit 15 home runs.
That was not your bold prediction.
Excuse me, I'm talking to Scott. Okay. Excuse me, I made a bold prediction.
Are you guys okay? Are you guys all right?
No.
We actually are.
No. We're healing. No.
We're great.
No.
Scott.
You know, I know it can be tough to work with the same partner all the time. So just, no. You know, I want to make sure you guys are
no.
good.
No, Scott,
that's
we're
why
fired.
They got to rotate him with no. you, so you don't no. have a moment. Yeah,
no,
I get
Scott,
it.
We're fine, but like I was saying, Jill, like, to cut me off, but like I was saying, made a bold prediction at the beginning of the year that he would hit 15 home runs. He's at 9 now. So how okay. close do you think he's going to get to having those?
This guy.
What are you talking about?
You're unbelievable.
His bold,
you
Scott, about? His bold prediction was 30 home runs. He's changed it.
Liar.
Oh.
What do you mean? What are you talking
He's
about?
Taking the – so here's the – pull the curtain back. Scott, he's taking the Alec Bohm makes the round two of the phase two of voting as a win for his prediction.
Yes.
He came in okay. here today. He's like, did you see round – he's in round two, Alec Bohm. You see this?
Yeah. He's probably not going to hit 30, Hugh. But If he does, that would be amazing. What a second half that would be.
Yes.
But, yeah. Your bold prediction, I think he'll get to 15.
See?
Yeah.
All right, you win. He wins this round. We'll give it to him. Scott, thank you so much for hopping on, as always. Have a great weekend. We'll be listening against the Mets.
Have a good one, Scott.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Tell Jackie Baseball.
I'm just trying to be Rick Rubin. That's all I want to be.
Well, yeah, he's kind of a fraud, though, Rick Rubin.
Rick
yeah.
Rubin?
Yeah, the producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like sometimes he doesn't even show up at the studio for like 2.5 months.
He's always like Dr. Dre.
Yeah, is Dr. Dre like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick Rubin's like,
he's living more by name.
Yeah, yeah, you did a great job today. I'll see you guys next month.
Yeah, he's living more by name.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. The I Hope Jackie Baseball, as always, is sponsored by Petro Home Services. Don't let your AC strike out of the summer. Petro's tune-up and repair team has you covered. Go to petro.com. Here is what that series did for me.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I know what's coming.
Is he ready? He's ready to go.
This is going to be a Michael Jordan FM Kids moment.
I'm ready to put Gage Wood on the table.
Hey!
Wow. For one package. And that is a package of either Wilson Contreras from the Red Sox.
Yep.
It was Wilson Contreras. And Aroldis Chapman. If you go,
wow,
Aroldis,
you think Gage Wood is getting us both of them?
I think not.
We have to throw in some other junk.
Yeah, not like as the he could headline that package to get those two.
Jack, can I throw you a hypothetical?
Sure.
What if they said we'll do the deal, but it takes Gage Wood and Aiden Miller?
That's a no.
That's a no.
That's a no.
Okay,
but I do think that Gage Wood would be enough to at least, on top of other things in the system,
sure,
be enough to get that deal close. Aroldis Chapman has a half season left, and then a mutual option after the year. I think if you go Chapman into Duran, it's pretty lethal 8-9. Let Alvarado be in the Tim Mesa kind of role or the Tanner Banks role, where he's more in the 6th, 7th inning. And then I think your bullpen becomes – it's already a really good pen. I mean, I think one of the most underrated aspects of last night's game was the bullpen allowed one hit.
Yep.
It was, and Sanchez only went 5. So
they
had to do their job. And shout out to Kerkering, who the double happened, and I'm like, here we go again.
Yeah, but he bounced back.
He bounced right back, had that little chip, which was nice to see. But if you can go Chapman into Duran, now he has had his postseason moments. I'm fully aware of that. One of them was against the cheating Astros, so who knows. Altuve crossed home plate and was like, don't touch my jersey. So maybe.
Every time I see that replay and you hear that,
it's
crazy. You're like, what?
Yeah. It's crazy. So then we just talked about Wilson Contreras. I mean, the Red Sox have a lot of things that would help this team. And whether it's Wilson Contreras, whether it's Aroldis Chapman, Jaron Duran, or Willier Abreu, Jaron Duran.
In the outfield.
Has the two outfielders. Duran signed through 29, has had a down year, but I think he's a classic change of scenery guy. Willier Abreu, I think, has blossomed into the most underrated outfielder in baseball. I don't know why they would trade him, but they've been rumored to be willing to move him for the last offseason and now heading into this trade deadline.
Oh, man, let's bring them all over.
Yeah.
Alex Cora is going to be familiar with him anyway.
Exactly. And the last piece, sorry, is Sonny Gray. Like, if they wanted to also add possibly Sonny Gray.
He's been good this year, too.
He's been good. He's your guy that could take a ball in a game four if you need it.
That's the rallying cry. F them kids. F them kids, bring us a title.
If not now, when?
Yes.
Was Sonny Gray one of the ones up in New York that said maybe the pressure was a little too... Okay, so I'm just curious, if he was to get a ball for the Philadelphia Phillies in game four,
I know,
does he have some sort of, I don't know if I'm built for this type of mentality?
Can we do bleep them kids instead of F them kids?
Yeah, we could do bleep them kids.
I do bleep them kids.
Yeah.
It's a good dynamite dropping, Ike.
Yeah.
Yeah, after a great question.
No, but yeah, so Sonny Gray, so he was a little younger when that happened. I mean, he's pitched in Boston this year well. And it seems like that kind of might be behind him. Like St. Louis, he's been fine. Now, St. Louis is not, you know, it's baseball heaven, but it's not the toughest media market. He's been fine in Boston this year, but it's a fair concern.
And he's been fine in a year that's been, if you wanted to unravel the Red Sox this year is a good place to unravel, and he hasn't done it. Sonny Gray's been good.
My bad, bros. Listen.
Yeah, what are you laughing at over there?
You ought to be familiar with the show.
Yeah.
My brain operates on a delay sometimes.
Okay.
And if something pops in my head, I just say it.
Got to get it out.
He ran through a lot of wedges.
Yeah. Bleep them kids.
That's right.
Bleep them kids.
I'm going to say F them kids one more time, and this is the last time.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We do have a question, actually, for Ike in this in this High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report, because you put out a tweet last night.
What I put?
You put out my hashtag PTW, hashtag MB3. And I was trying to, because I know here's your player to count on.
What's PTW?
I use player to watch.
Oh.
I'm glad we got to the bottom of that.
Yes.
Because player to count is a longer hashtag.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I just use player to watch.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Well, you monitor everything.
Yeah. Well, I was just so confused.
Yeah.
I was just so confused. Mets fire Mendoza, which is a little, you worry a little bit about the new manager fired bump from the Mets this weekend. Maybe they're so dead, it's like, why'd you even fire them?
Yeah, well, all they're saying, all the Mets fans are saying now, no, everybody's just mad, and they just want Stearns to get fired. Like, you know, I've plenty of Mets fans from when I was up at FAN all in my feed and in my life, and they are too little too late.
Right.
They got to fire Stearns. Jack, I wonder this. He's been great. But like Soto, I don't think that doesn't feel like a Stern signing to me. It feels like a Steve Cohen one.
Yeah.
And like, to Soto, as great as he is, throwing off the sort of like vibe of the team, you know, doesn't get along with Lindor. Like, I just wonder if a guy like that, who's great but is not a leader and is perceived as sort of like a me guy, I wonder if that signing, as great as he's played, could have been problematic for the Mets and all this.
Yeah.
Because they're all jealous of him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like from the people that I follow up there, like, they've all turned on Lindor, too.
Yes.
As like, the leader, they think he's actually more, like, divisive. Like, he pushes guys away.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they think they got rid of Nimmo and McNeil and Alonso, because they want to turn the team over to Lindor.
Yeah, but Soto doesn't like Lindor.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It's a huge issue.
Was he viewed that way in Cleveland?
No, he was viewed as, like, Mr. Smiles, leader guy.
Yeah.
And
if we want to trade shortstops.
Just flip him.
Yeah, please.
just flip him.
I've become a trade tee guy, but I would love Lindor.
Yeah. You still see the defense.
Yeah.
8-22 in their last 30 games at Citi Field. So,
wow.
we gotta fix that.
That's
one.
A tough one.
And Wheeler facing his former
fix,
team.
We need to add on to that.
Yes, we make have him stay bad.
No, like, well, we need to fix it for us.
Fix it for us. But,
yeah.
The Phillies are 8-22.
The Phillies are 8-22.
Oh, I thought you meant the Mets.
I thought you said the Mets
too,
were
8-22.
Donovan Chesbat. No.
Okay.
The Phillies suck up there.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to remedy that situation.
Yes.
Another home run for Derek Hill last night, our guy.
Also, not a wall scraper.
Uh-uh.
Both those, that home run last night, what was it, 445?
Yeah.
That's a big home run.
Former first rounder.
He's leading the league in pinch hit home runs this year. He's got four. Sure.
Last night didn't technically count because he'd been in the game a little while.
Like
he has three.
Okay.
But he has three homers as a Philly.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, listen. Sometimes.
You need a guy like
that. Yeah, he just comes out of nowhere.
He reminds me of Ben Francisco.
Yeah.
Ben Francisco in 2011, like a fourth outfielder that just he kind of trusted in a bit. Exactly. He might be the Amundo of the outfielders.
Yeah.
Where you just kind of
throw him in any spot in the outfield.
Well, to your point, Jack, you never know. You mentioned Miguel Rojas, right?
I mean,
you just never know who's going to be that player to get the big hit.
You need a guy.
Yeah, go get that division, man. Go get four games back.
Four games back. Which side do you fall more on? Good comebacks or they should have been swept?
Great comebacks. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Come
nah.
Not even we would do that.
No, yeah.
But to be fair, some pointed out the Nationals bullpen is more of what went wrong than the
Oh,
Phils.
For sure. Yes.
They scored 15 ninth-inning runs this year.
I would definitely give it. Yeah, the Nationals blew those three games for sure.
Yeah, but we had to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you have to take
had to hit the ball, yeah.
Also, just for those keeping track at home, Nationals bullpen ERA is 5.05. Phillies bullpen ERA in 2020 was 7.06.
Wow. Yeah, you did say it was worse.
It was the second.
Is that the shortened season?
Yeah. That's why I don't remember it.
That's fine. I lived it. It was the longest 60 games of my life. It was the second worst bullpen in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
The 2020 Phillies.
Is that the year Bryce won MVP?
No, 21 was.
21, okay.
I think 19 is when we had the Jared Hughes running in from the bullpen and JT going like the.
Is that what a GIF?
Oh, that's the
my favorite JT GIF.
It's a great one.
It's a good one.
It's a great one. That's it.
All right.
right,
and we have three against the Mets starting tonight. You can hear it on WIP. First pitch, 7:15. The game is at Citi Field.
7:15?
Yes. Right. As Noah Kahn is at Citizens
seven,
Bank.
7:10. Okay.
7:10.
Thank God.
Sorry.
That extra five minutes.
Five minutes.
Well, one of us has leading off.
Yeah, not us.